Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode of Comedy Bang Bang is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You can't spell electric car without electric and car. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Thank you to Wojciechowski for that catchphrase submission. Wojciechowski, unfortunately, I don't think that one's going to stick, but keep sending them in. And welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another week. We have a great show today. Coming up a little later, we have a small business owner. I feel like people are now describing themselves as small business owners in order to stay away from being an entrepreneur. Not sure, but not an entrepreneur, a small business owner. That is the trend for 2021, is owning a small business. And what a great time to start a small business in the middle of the demi. And we also have a bounty hunter. I don't think we've ever spoken to a bounty hunter, at least not a professional one, maybe someone who did it on the side, but that'll be coming up a little later. My name is Scott Aukerman, by the way. I'm the host of Comedy Bang Bang, and we also have someone who is in the performing arts. The performing arts. Is that, that's kind of a highfalutin way to say actor, I guess. But why don't we talk to her right now? This is her first time on the podcast, and she was on the Comedy Bang Bang television show a while back, which we can talk about. You know her from such movies as Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Star Wars, The Next Skywalker, Star Wars, The Previous Guy. I don't know what all those titles are. She has a new movie, animated movie, coming out this Friday called Raya and the Last Dragon. It comes out this Friday. I've seen it. We'll talk about it. Please welcome, for the first time on the show, Kelly Marie Tran. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, nice to see you.
What up, dude?
Hey, dude.
Good to see you, too. I'm excited to do this.
Yes, welcome to the show. I mean, most people probably would know you from Comedy Bang Bang, where you played Disgruntled Teen. Is that an accurate description?
I don't remember if it was Teen 1 or Teen 2, to be honest.
Definitely not Teen 3, though.
No, definitely.
You never would have accepted the role at Teen 3.
No, I have standards. Come on.
Yes, of course. That was where we first ran into each other. I was trying to remember how you got the part, because for the most part, we just kind of gave the parts out on the Comedy Bang Bang TV show.
No, I auditioned for that, man.
That's what I thought. Yeah, because if there was ever a part that we didn't just kind of casually know someone who could fit into it, and Teen would certainly be a part that we didn't really, we weren't hanging out with any teens at the time, then people would audition for it. So yeah, I must have seen your audition and cast you from that. Does that sound like an accurate description?
Yeah, lucky for you, I am a 30-year-old that looks like 14, so right for that. Yeah, I definitely auditioned for it. I remember that.
You were great in it. It's actually one of my favorite episodes. I don't know what about it. It was you guys' performance. I think Ben Berman, the director, did a great job with that episode. The writers, of course, did a great... I can't remember who the couch guest was, but maybe
Middleditch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it was such a funny
amazing.
Episode, yeah. And you guys were so funny in it. And I don't know whether you've heard this story, but we were, I think the next season, trying to figure out a who could play a part. I think it might have been like a regular part, like one of our, you know, quote unquote PA parts that were in several episodes. And we were like, who can do it? Who can do it? And I was like, you know who was really funny? It was Kelly Marie Tran. Why don't we just get her back?
And I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So we reached out to your agent, and your agent came back and said, no, she can't do it. She's in England doing a movie. And Neil Campbell, the executive producer, said, she's probably in the new Star Wars movie. And we said, yeah, that's probably it. All kind of like going, all right, Neil, what are you even talking about? Cut to, I think a year later, they announce you're in this Star Wars, in the freaking Star Wars.
Oh, gosh, that is crazy. Well, that was prophetic, I guess.
Yeah,
insane.
He's a genius, Neil Campbell.
True genius.
So anyway, one of the favorites on Comedy Bang Bang, the television show, and now you're here on the podcast, and we'll see how you do on this. but you kind of burst out of nowhere, you know, to a lot of people's, to the public eye, when you did Star Wars. But before then, you actually were around LA. You were doing UCB. You were on an improv team, right?
Yeah, I was doing improv and taking classes at all of the schools. So I went through IO and rest in peace to IO, by the way.
Ah, sad, yes, that's sad. Right. We haven't given them their proper rest in peace on this show yet. I don't think it's ever come up.
I know. Yeah. So IO, Second City, and I also did Miles Stroth workshops. I did it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did that. So when you got the call, when you answered the call, as the Lady Ghostbusters once did, and went to the audition for Star Wars, was that the type of role you had been auditioning for at the time, or was it kind of out of left field?
It was absolutely out of the field. I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought it was like, haha, there's this funny joke, because I got...
That's the kind of joke that they would play, isn't it?
Yeah. They were like, look at this idiot who thinks she can be an actor. Let's just pretend like she's auditioning for this thing.
Let's give her a fake lightsaber and see what she does with it.
Yeah, exactly. No, so I was auditioning for a bunch of stuff, and I was mostly going in for, you know, things on sitcoms and getting pretty close to some series regular roles, but nothing had really gotten to that point yet. And then as I was auditioning for a bunch of stuff, this audition came through for this thing called the Untitled Rian Johnson Project, which if you do a quick Google, it was very clear he was doing Star Wars.
Plus the word laser was in a lot of the lines,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was like Untitled Rian Johnson, pew, pew, pew. That's exactly what it said. So I auditioned for 6 months, and sort of kept it this big secret. And
auditioned? It was a 6 month long audition. Usually they take 15 minutes or so. This was a 6 month long audition.
Yes, it was.
Was it in real time in the events
in
of the
time,
movie?
Yeah, I was spending the night there. It was just constant torture over and over.
just the callback process. You went to a lot of different. Okay.
Yeah. Cause they were auditioning people in New York and in London and pretty much everywhere. So it was definitely something that I was like, oh, this is like a fun thing that I'm doing that's never going to pan out, but I'll just congratulate myself one day when I'm like 85 and be like, remember that one time you auditioned for that thing that you didn't get? That was good times.
How many auditions and callbacks did you do before it started to feel kind of serious to you?
Okay, so I think it felt serious around audition 4. I remember that's when I...
That's more than how many Star Wars movies they made in the sequels.
I know. Hi!
Oh, hey, we have a special guest here, someone who just Zoom-jacked us. This is, people know her as my ex-girlfriend. People know
her. I wish they wouldn't.
AKA the Widow Kulop.
Like not a widow.
Please welcome to the show, Kulop Vilaysok.
Hi, everyone. Yay. It takes a special person to be late in a podcast via Zoom in her own home.
In the home she shares with the host. But here she is. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm so happy to see you.
What are you doing here?
Oh, you know, I have nothing to do.
Okay, well, welcome. All are welcome on this show. It is an open door policy. And, you know, when we were in the studio where we were doing Comedy Bang Bang, it was an open door policy and all these weirdos would just walk into the studio all the time. And I've missed that on the show here at home. No one can just walk into my house other than you. So, you know, we said, hey, why not have an open door policy with today's show? So welcome.
I mean, this is very indicative of our relationship, which is me constantly invading your space.
Yes, thank you. All right. So we were just talking about Star Wars, which
I've heard of it.
We were talking about Kelly's fourth audition is when it started to feel kind of serious to her.
Yeah, because that's when they brought John Boyega in and it wasn't announced. Like I went into the room and they were like, oh, Kelly, by the way, John Boyega is here and you're going to chemistry read with him. And I was like,
had he been cast already?
Yes, because they had already done the seventh movie, which I...
Oh, that's... Yes, I forget. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I also was not a big Star Wars fan growing up, so I kind of was like, okay, cool. I don't know what's happening. It was also the first thing I ever tested for.
Whoa, that's a huge one to test for. What if they had said to you, by the way, we're bringing Darth Vader in for a chemistry test? And it was just like... just some tall dude wearing a Darth Vader thing, and they're like, all right. Let's see how it goes.
I guess I would have just gone with it because I really feel like I was just flying blind at this point. I had no idea what I was doing. And
that is a pun, by the way, because Rose Tico used to fix airplanes. What did she do?
Oh, my God. I almost forgot. I was like, what? It's like, this is years ago. She's an engineer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maintenance worker. That's That's great. That's the technical term, I guess.
So did you, when you were doing it with John Boyega, did you do the, like, that first scene where he, as I'm remembering it, he comes out of cryostasis or something and or something? Or he comes across you when you're trying to hijack a ship or something? What was the plot of that movie? Do you remember?
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It feels like so long ago. No, so that scene I didn't do until the final test in London, which was like a few auditions later.
Did you see Big Ben when you were there?
Big Ben? Oh, you mean Kylo Ren?
AKA the big clock.
Oh, Big Ben! I thought you meant Ben Solo. Wow, I am in a weird world. Yeah, I did see Big Ben. I did see Big Ben. I did all the tourists.
That is not a bad. That is not a bad nickname for Kylo Ren. Big Ben. If everyone just liked to make fun of him, started calling him Big Ben. He's like, stop calling me Big Ben. I'm Kylo Ren.
Not a bad nickname.
So you did some scenes with John Boyega. You leave the room. Are you sort of like at that point going, did I do well? Did I not do well?
I thought I completely messed it up. I don't know if you guys know Caitlin Tanimoto, who's also sort of in the UCB world.
No.
You know,
I like to get to know her.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she's...
By the house.
I'll have her come by. So she was my roommate at the time. And I remember going home and being like, oh, I absolutely messed this up. And I just like was sitting in my bed crying and I made her crawl into bed with me and hold my hand because I was so upset that I thought I messed it up so badly.
Why did you think that you messed it up? And is it something that they actually liked about your audition and then said, hey, keep doing that thing that you thought you messed up during the movie?
So I don't know if, I don't know. I feel like sometimes I'll get into an audition and I feel like I leave and I'm like, what just happened? Like, I feel like I don't know if I took any of those directions. That's kind of how I was feeling. Like, I remember hearing...
I can't really relate because I'm offer only, so I can't really relate. But go ahead with your story.
Right, yeah. So I just honestly thought I messed it up. And it was pretty horrifying. I guess it was horrifying because I knew in my world, I was like, I've never seen anyone like me in a movie like that. This was my only chance to do anything like that. So it felt like a big disappointment.
It's not like they can be like, well, you didn't get the role of Rose Tico, but, you know, we have... you know, a droid that you can play, you know, or like, you know, droid number two, much like Teen Number Two, which you played on Comedy Bang Bang.
My big break.
Yes, of course. I consider it to be your big break.
Wow. You've got that on record now, Scott. Are you happy?
Yes, thank you.
Have all the headlines. Kelly Marie Tran from Comedy Bang Bang. season was that?
Well, I will say that when you were cast, it did make me laugh because I have a Google alert for Comedy Bang Bang stuff. And when you were cast, it was one of your only credits that they that every single article brought up. They were just like, so I was very proud that the name Comedy Bang Bang at least was out there in all these.
I'm pretty sure it was Comedy Bang Bang and College Humor. Those were the two things that people were like, she's known for these things. And I was like, I'm proud. Yes.
So what was it like when you got the call when, again, as they say, you answered the call and it was... them telling you got the part? Were you still in bed with your roommate at that point?
No, I was working this office job. I was an assistant to a creative director at a creative recruiting firm, which was at, do you guys know where the CAA building is?
The one with the big hole in the middle?
Yeah, the big hole. Mm-hmm. So I worked in a building across the street. The Death Star, exactly. Here we go. I worked in a building across the street. And so I was working at this.
What
desk
is that?
Job.
Italy? Is that?
No, I worked. God bless Italy, by the way. We love Italy.
Oh, my God. I haven't been in a year. It's killing me.
It's so good. I'm dying to carb load. So I was working.
I just call that eating, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I was working at this desk job. I got this call and they were like, Ryan wants to have a meeting with you. And I just assumed, I honestly thought it was going to be like, hey, you got far, but great try, kid. We'll keep you in mind for other things. And kind of thought it was like a comfort call or a consolation call. It's kind of what it was. And then I went into the room with him and he was like, you know,
the movie, the room or
no,
because that would be a weird place to tell you got the part.
We went to the casting room and he was like, oh yeah, how are you doing? I'm like, great. I was like casually pretending to like look at a book of like on the coffee table. I'm like, oh, I'm just like, I don't care what you're about to say. I'm so busy. And and he was like, I want to offer you this role. And I remember thinking years before, like as a kid, like no one ever thinks they're going to be able to be in like a fantasy franchise movie. Like that's like a deranged dream. Like you'd have to be crazy to believe that you could actually do it. We all know how out of control all of that booking stuff is. Like I was barely booking like a one line role on anything. You know, I could barely get Team 2 on Comedy Bang Bang, for God's sake. And then this guy tells me that he wants me to be in his Star Wars movie. And I was just silent for a full like 2 minutes. Like I just froze. And it was the moment of, oh, I was fighting this whole time to do this. And then when it came to the moment, I just don't know if I can do this. Like, I was just so scared. And
wow.
Yeah, I was so quiet that he eventually was like, so do you want this? I was like, no, dude, I'd rather be crying in bed with my roommate. Come on.
Incredible. Yeah. And then, it's interesting because I had assumed that they would have called your agent and your agent would have called you and said, hey, good news. But that's the personal touch. I like that. Just calling you to a meeting. I wonder if he called the people that he didn't cast to the meetings or whether, you know, I don't know. We'll never find out, I guess.
Wait, it's The Bachelor?
Yeah, exactly. And he says, will you accept this, Rose? Which, by the way, are you going to do one of these Disney Plus series as Rose Tico? And if so, I have a pitch and I would like to be the showrunner and you know you'll be in safe hands with me.
All right, well, let's hear the pitch.
Okay, so it's Kiss from a Rose.
Great.
And it's kind of a Bachelor kind of thing where like you're out there, you're like looking for love, you're flying around in a ship, you're an engineer from what I'm hearing, and so you're like fixing the ship every other episode and then it flies for one episode and breaks at the end of each episode. Anyway, so you're sort of like dating a lot of like, you know, Greedos and Jabbas and all that, and you can't seem to find anyone great. And then at the end, you finally find you have been texting, space texting. I don't know exactly what they call it there.
Yeah, they call it space texting.
Space texting with someone who seems so cool. And you're like, I think this is the one. And we find this out at the very end of the season, which makes us come back for season two. It's the Eye of Webbish Bog.
I'm out.
No? I'm calling Kathy Kennedy. We're going to greenlight this. Let it be known. We're announcing it here.
Okay, great. Wow. Finally getting on those nerd websites again ever since the first time you were cast. I love it. Well, yeah, the world wants to see more of that character. So I know you can't ever say anything until it's actually, you know, announced. But I can see you nodding that you're doing it. So, I mean, you and like, who would you team up with if you could do a series like that? Like, which one of the characters?
Which one of the characters?
Yeah.
Ooh.
A past or present.
Past or present.
Or future.
I don't know. I feel like I'm biased because I spent so much time with John Boyega in episode 8 that I just love him so much. So probably Finn. And then Janna, because Naomi Aki is a badass and I think she's so good.
The three of you together, that is a hit show as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we've pitched it. It's going to be made. Just watch.
And then you're like driving in the spaceship and you pass the Mandalorian and you wave him as he goes the other way. And you're just hey, what's up? And that, this is perfect. Okay, we want to make this happen. We do want to talk about the new movie coming out this Friday, Raya and the Last Dragon. Now, would it surprise you to learn that I've seen this film?
No, because you told me like 30
right.
minutes ago. Yeah.
Upcoming animated film, very akin to Frozen, except it's not a musical and it's not set in the snow. Are those the major differences?
Yeah, I'd say you're right. Yeah.
Although at one point there's a little bit of bad weather and you're kind of like, it might snow, but then it actually never does. You play the lead, you play Raya, the titular Raya. Describe the film for me, if you could, within 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 sentences.
Great. Wow, that just made me so nervous because I'm now like counting my sentences.
You can put commas at the end of your perfect. Last sentence okay, so that great, it's just great. A big long run on if you want to.
Great. So this movie is about a girl named Raya who grows up and she's technically a princess, but Disney's told me that we're trying to veer away from that word. So she's a warrior.
Oh, yes.
All
she
right.
is a warrior, which is true.
That's right.
but you are, I mean, technically you're one of the Disney princesses now.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
It's cuckoo.
It's beautiful.
It's cuckoo. It's crazy. Okay. So she experiences something pretty traumatizing in her younger years. And I hear myself already going into the press answer for what this movie is about. And I hate it.
Okay.
Can we just talk about that for a second? About how like it's so easy when you do more and more interviews, you're like, this is my blurb.
Well, you were telling me you just started doing the press today. This is one of your first interviews. So you got to get good at it. So maybe
this is
where you could practice
round.
It and I can give you some tips.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Okay.
She's
yeah.
She's a young warrior who experiences a traumatic experience in her younger years, and it filters the way that she sees the world. So she's now looking at the world from a place of distrust. Everyone's out to get her. She doesn't feel like she wants to let anyone into her life. She has to figure things out by herself. And then she goes onto this journey and through meeting other people and all of these sort of magical things that happen, including one of them being meeting a dragon, she learns how to trust again. So,
okay, pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Here's what I would say, having seen the film.
Okay, great.
I would say long ago in the world of Kumandra, humans and dragons lived together in harmony. But when similar monsters known as the Droon threatened the land, the dragons sacrificed themselves to save humanity. So now 500 years later, those same monsters have returned and it's up to a lone warrior, Raya, and her pet pill bug companion, Tuk-Tuk, to track down the last dragon in order to finally stop the Droon for good. However, along her journey, she'll learn that it'll take more than dragon magic to save the world. It's going to take trust as well. That sort of is what you were trying to say, but a little more.
Did you memorize the press release? That was amazing.
Kelly, this is why he's offer only.
I mean, okay.
That is the Aukerman. You know, it's the year of the ox, but it's also the year of the ox.
Of this ox.
Oxerman.
Well, you just put me to shame, truly. Do you want to do my interviews for me?
I wouldn't mind,
question?
Actually. Yeah, I'm going crazy here in the house with no one to talk to.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What? Who else is in this cast? We have some friends of the show are in this cast as well. We have Awkwafina is in this,
yeah,
who plays the other titular Last Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we have?
We got Gemma Chan, who's playing Namari. We have Daniel Day Kim, who's playing Benja, my father. We've got Isaac Wang, who's playing Boone. Talia Tran is playing Baby Noi.
Sandra Oh, I believe,
yeah,
is in the film.
Yeah, yeah. She plays Namari's mom. Who else? Benedict Wong's in the movie.
Former Comedy Bang Bang guest Alan Tudyk apparently is in the movie, although he plays a horse. Is that right?
He plays the pill bug. He plays Tuk-Tuk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Patty Harrison is in it.
Love Patty Harrison, yeah.
Yeah, so a really great cast. And it comes out this Friday. Is it, I mean, was that, did you do it right off of Star Wars? Was it kind of like, I mean, you've just been living the Disney dream life.
I know. I feel like I won some golden ticket or something. I'm like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, truly. It's like.
Except this Chocolate Factory is two roles in three movies.
Yeah. So I found out about Raya right around episode 9 was coming out.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's been sort of a weird whirlwind.
Yeah. Is it? And the first time you saw the film, were you surprised it was animated? Did you think they were filming you the entire time? Or?
Well, I was pretty upset because I did all those stunts myself. And then when I saw the movie, I was like,
what the hell, dude? What?
Yeah.
But Kelly, you look ripped.
Kelly ripped.
My animated self is just fully six-packed out. Yeah, truly.
Now, Kulap, you and I have not spoken during the pandemic.
No.
What was
mainly mainly notes, either paper or via chalkboard.
Right. You have a bit of a connection to this film as well. Is that right?
That is right. The filmmakers and Los Angeles. Scott, you've heard of Los Angeles, right?
I've seen the swag around the house.
Yeah. And
just,
you know, that
boxes of T-shirts everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Stacks of boxes of T-shirts. And you know that I'm Lao, right?
I mean, we probably discussed that early on in our courtship. But at this point, it's been 20 years. So I don't know what
Scott
we talked about in those early dates.
Scott, how dare you? It's been 22 years.
I beg your pardon. Apologies. Apologies.
Well, we did a little collaboration with the filmmakers, and we did a blessing ceremony at the start of the production in at the Disney Animation Building in January of 2020. So
this is right before pandemic hits.
Yeah,
this is like patient zero super spreader event, possibly.
What? Oh, no.
Are you to blame for all of this?
I'm sorry. I mean, I guess I don't know.
Right. So you did a Lao blessing ceremony. Can you describe that just a little bit of what happens?
Yes. So it's called the Basi. And in the Lao culture, it's where we believe that as you go into life, sometimes you leave your spirit in different places. And so you're calling it back. And so that was when I first knew that Kelly was involved and she was there. And so the ceremony is about an elder giving you blessing and tying a string on your wrist. And it's really about the group coming together to support one another.
And the film, it's not set on Earth, and it's not set on Mars or Pluto or Jupiter or anything like that. They never say what the planet is, but it's set in a fantasy land called Kumandra, right?
Yes.
And it's inspired by Southeast Asian cultures like Laos and Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, and stuff like that. So the filmmakers were reaching out to groups so that there were authentic touches in the film. Is that right?
Yeah. And the lead cultural consultant is Dr. Steve Arunsak. He's
an associate professor of Lao anthropology at CSU, right?
Yes. And he's also like a big brother to me. And so that's the reason why Los Angeles got connected.
Right.
But yeah, so there was a Southeast Asian Story Trust that was involved.
Right. So when we and Kelly, when we watched the film, Kulap, can you say what your reaction was? I don't want to spoil your reaction, but certain moments in the film were provoking strong reactions in you, correct?
Yes, Scott sat beside me as I wept.
Aww.
I laughed. I wept. I was surprised at how little details had this like this cultural recognition. These little pieces of Laos that came forward. Mm. And Kelly, you know, like we never get to see ourselves on screen, much less in a Disney animated film. And it just, it made me so happy. And I was so touched on like a really deep, primal level. And you were fantastic. You're so good in it.
Thanks for saying that. Oh, it means so much to me that you were moved by the whole experience, because I feel the same, really. Like when I saw it, so much of it for me was just looking at the food and looking at the fabrics and looking at how meticulous the story trust and Disney was about making sure that this was authentic. Like, I don't know if you guys know, this is actually a funny little tidbit, but Disney actually reached out to me and had like an hour long phone call with me just about Raya's hat.
What? I don't remember. Were you wearing a Santa Claus hat in there? I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah. Kelly moved them away from the Santa Claus hat. She was like,
exactly, exactly. I was like, that's
too much like Frozen.
Yeah. Exactly. But I guess what's been crazy to me is just how in depth everybody is in this whole experience, and just knowing how important it is. Like with what you were saying, like we never get representation. So it feels like a lot of, you know, it feels like a lot of pressure to do it right. And I've just been really wonderfully surprised and just grateful that everyone has been so thoughtful about everything. It just makes it that much more of an enjoyable experience.
Incredible. Well, it's a great film. I think people should bring as many children as they can to it, their own, other people's. Just gather, you know, round up children. Mm-hmm. This to you is like what Fargo is to me. You know, Fargo is my culture.
No, it's not. Fargo's more my culture than your culture.
I'm just talking white people.
I'm from Minnesota. I have that accent.
That's true.
Have you guys seen Kimiko, by the way? This movie that was like based on Fargo. It's like about this Japanese woman who thinks plot of Fargo is real. It is amazing.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right. I'll send you an email about it.
Please.
Anyway,
but we're not here to talk about Kimiko. We are here to talk about Raya the Last Dragon. It comes out this Friday. It's in theaters if you're near a theater that's open, but it's also on Premier Access on Disney Plus, which essentially is Disney Plus. Disney Plus. Does that cancel it? Would it be Disney minus then? Does two
Disney
pluses
plus
make a
squared.
Minus?
Disney plus squared.
Yeah. Okay. So people can rent it in the safety of their own homes or someone else's home. I mean, go somewhere else if you want, you know, just break into someone else's house if you like and charge it to them.
Give them COVID.
I don't know if that's something anyone should do, Scott. I feel like maybe that.
Not quite sure.
Yeah,
by the way, we know Isaac, right?
Yes, we do. Isaac. Oh. Isaac's Lao. He's Lao Chinese. And one time he was over for a Los Angeles potluck and he decided to sing karaoke. I think it was A Whole New World, but he did it in sort of a screamcore way. And then Scott angrily texted me, WTF is going on?
I believe I was trying to sleep.
That's right.
And he was A Whole New World. So it's wonderful to see him springboarding from that experience to the big screen.
Oh my gosh. He's so good in this.
He's really funny. Yeah.
Amazing.
He's so good.
And Kelly, did you know that his mom was dancing in the Basi ceremony?
Yeah, they told me afterwards. I think that's so, like, how full circle is that?
This is more like an off-mic conversation.
Oh, well.
I think.
All right, well, you keep talking about how people should break into other people's houses. Use your platform that way, Scott.
Yeah, Scott, why don't you just keep talking about Fargo?
Well, I am using my platform to talk about Raya the Last Dragon. People should see it. It comes out this Friday, Disney Plus, or go hit up a theater if you're near one. We have to take a break if that's okay. When we come back, we are going to be talking to a small business owner and also a bounty hunter. This is a very exciting show, Kelly. So, and Kulop, are you sticking around or are you, what's going on?
I ain't going nowhere.
Hell yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know what it is. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website to engage with your audience all on your terms. And let me tell you something. You do not want to miss Fluid Engine. Oh, Fluid Engine is here, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace. You start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new Asset Library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you are ready to launch, of course, go to squarespace.com/bangbang to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show, Comedy Bang Bang, is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is your social battery drained right now? Or are you bursting with energy? What's your level? What is going on with your social battery? Do you have, maybe you don't have enough boundaries, or maybe you're less social in the winter? What's going on with you? What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bangbang today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bangbang. You gotta admit, shopping for humans, it's so hard. But you know what? Shopping for your dog? Oh, that's easy thanks to Bark. Every month, Bark delivers toys and treats just for your pup. They deserve to be spoiled, don't they? Every month? Why not? At Bark, we send your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month, whether it's fun plush toys from BarkBox or ultra-tough toys from Super Chewer, Bark gives your dog exactly what they want. And for a limited time, Bark will double your first box for free. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/bangbang. That's BarkBox.com/bangbang. Now, we have been Bark subscribers for a long time, and we would get the boxes every month, and our dogs love them. In fact, they love them so much. The opening of the package, they would be jumping up on us. They loved them so much that after a few months, any package that was delivered, they thought it was for them. And they would get very, very excited. We'd say, no, this is actually just a book that I ordered. It's very, very exciting when you give a BarkBox. Sign up now at BarkBox.com/bangbang for an exclusive offer. This ad is over now. Let's go back to petting our dogs. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back here. Kelly Marie Tran from Raya and the Last Dragon in theaters and also on Disney Plus premiere access this Friday. We also have Kulapi Lysok of the Add to Cart podcast. We talked about it on the last show.
Yeah, people know about it. And also, I come from your bed.
That's right. Yes, getting a lot of reaction from our other guests. But speaking of our other guests, we do have to get to our next guest. She's a small business owner. Have you ever spoken to a small business owner, Kelly? This is exciting.
I have, because I go to farmers markets.
Oh, okay, well, maybe this small business owner works at a farmers market. We'll find that out. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Chrysanthemum Trummers.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Oh, thank you.
Are you okay?
I'm thrilled. Huge for me. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. I mean, a lot of people come on this show to talk about their businesses and, get the word out about what they're up to. So,
Exciting. You think someone might, I might get some business off of this?
Why else would you be here?
Oh, I just, I thought, well, this sounds like a nice time. Well, things haven't been going so well for my business, so I wasn't totally thinking about that, honestly.
Okay, well, we'll get to what your business is, but this is...
Will we?
Are you all right? It seems like You're there's no pressure on this interview.
Okay, just relax.
Everything's going well.
Do you know, I tried to take a meditation course once and nothing worked as good as just picturing a tumbleweed for me. So I'll
just
do
picturing
that.
A tumbleweed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, please continue to do that. Okay. I mean, that's what a lot of our listeners do when some of these
don't
land exactly the way that they're supposed to. Welcome. This is Kelly, by the way. This is Cool Op.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hi, Mrs.
Summers. I don't know why I waved.
Well, it's a nice, friendly thing to do, and they saw it, and they responded in kind.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It was very nice. Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Great.
You seem very in your head about what you're doing.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's a lot, you know, when you're your own business, you're doing all these things by yourself, and maybe you didn't make all the right moves, Scott. Maybe you've gotten yourself in a couple of pickles.
Oh, is it? Okay. So what, before we get to the pickles, let's get to the meat of the matter, the burger. What exactly is your business?
Well, Scott, I went real big on,
by the way, you don't have to just address me. You can, if you're going to say, well, Scott, make sure you say, well, Scott, Kelly, and Cool Op.
Well, Scott, Kelly, and Cool Op, I went big there on a go. Trend that I thought was forever, and I got just a storage unit full of fidget spinners. And that's all I'm sitting on. Well, Scott, Kelly, and Cool Op, and not just my own, but my parents, they got a storage unit full of fidget spinners.
Oh, no, a separate storage unit?
Yeah.
You didn't want to just get a bigger one together?
When my uncle sold his RV, he let me use his RV parking spot, a covered parking spot, to store more fidget spinners. So, Scott, Kelly, Cool Op,
no.
It's not going so good. It's not going.
No,
I was right.
Oh, how long ago did you buy these? I remember people talking about fidget spinners back in... Well,
I
Kelly,
would say
did,
early...
Did you have one of these? I can't quite tell how old you are.
Oh, me?
No, was Kelly. It?
Oh, so sorry.
She's a 30-year-old woman who can play a teen, so I'm not quite sure.
I have two fidget spinners.
Oh,
I do.
Do you need a third, Kelly?
do you need approximately 20,000 more?
Well, I'll start small. Well, Scott, Kelly, Cool Op. I'd take just one more, Kelly, Cool Op, Scott. If any of you want just one additional fidget spinner for what you need.
Kelly, how long has it been since you busted out the fidget spinners?
They're collecting dust, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Well, hey, Kelly, you know, a great way to knock that dust off is give them a little spin, you know? They're kind of their own mini ceiling fans. That's what's great about them is that dust will go right off.
Is that how you've been advertising the ones you've been trying to sell? They're like their own mini ceiling fans?
I've tried everything, Scott. Kelly, Cool Op. I've tried. They're their own mini ceiling fans. They're little pinwheels. They're like fans. They're like if you
that's,
had
a, that's a lot like the first thing you said.
Yeah. Okay.
you seem to be repeating.
Yeah, they're
yourself.
All fan based. If I'd said they're like what you'd put behind a boat that's a fan boat. So yeah, I guess
yeah,
I made a lot of comparisons to.
Why would you buy so many fidget spinners? I know they were popular for a while, but was someone unloading them or were these made to order for you?
Well, Scott, Kelly, Cool Op, I had loved them when I had them, and I was even a little late. I think they were biggest in, I'd say, 2016. I'm coming in the end of 2017, and I'm saying I still think these got legs. And I just really enjoyed how they made me feel. And I thought,
how do they make you feel? Because if I could be frank with you, you seem to be a nervous wreck, someone who's kind of at the precipice of emotional instability.
Sure.
Do they calm you down?
Yeah, they have a calming effect. I don't know if you've ever moved them side to side. It kind of
I've never even touched one. I don't even know if I've ever been in the same room with one.
Oh, Scott, could I give you a box? Could I give you a box?
Not a box.
How many are in
Scott,
a box?
Not a box.
A box has about 500 count. Can I?
500? You can't afford to give away 500 of these things.
I can and I will, Scott. You know, even, you know, because the overhead that I have on the storage spaces is if I could reduce even one of these storage spaces and get it down to just my uncle's old RV spot, that might put me back towards.
Is he charging you for that one?
No, God bless his soul. Yes, he just said, hey, my RV was there. You could use it till you get down to just this one.
What happened to his RV? Or is he passed away?
Oh, he just decided he preferred hotels.
Is he on Hotel Tonight? What does he book through an app or what does he do?
Oh, no. He still uses a travel agent. He's
interesting. Traveler's checks as well. Anything traveler.
Yeah. He has a Diners Club credit card. He's real old school about that, Scott.
Wow.
Kelly, cool up.
So you have all of these fidget spinners. I mean, maybe there's another use for them. I mean, Kelly, what do you do with yours? You basically, what is it? You put them on the floor or something? What do they do?
Okay, so I bought them thinking that it would help with my ADD. Like, I was like, oh, I'll just, like, spin this while I'm watching a movie. But then what happened was I got really into those, you know, the other fidget, like,
cubes?
Oh,
the fidget cube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
cube doesn't
sorry.
Sound like it would spin.
No, the cube doesn't spin. No, it just has a little clicky-clack. It has little things you can manipulate with every side of the cube. All six sides are different, Scott. Kelly, cool up. And you can do all different kinds of things with it. And yeah, some might say it's a superior product to the spinner.
Why didn't you buy those?
Well, Scott, I thought just stand by what you believe, and I believed the spinner was superior. I like.
No, you didn't. You just said they weren't.
Well, at the time, I did. I thought I like how passive it is. I don't like the click clack. I don't think a noise making component is good. It's meant to be soothing. Oh, okay. It's all right, Kelly. I understand that the cube had.
I love the cube.
Do
I
you still
tell
use
that.
The cube?
I still use the cube.
Oh no.
Wow. So the cube is getting a lot of work. No dust on that cube.
No dust on the cube. Truly. Yeah. And it sits perfectly and it's like cute. You know,
it is
like,
a lot cuter. Yeah. It's a much cuter product.
Maybe you could try to do something with your fidget spinners to make them cuter. You could put like, you know, fake googly eyes on them or something.
Now there's an idea. Well, I will say, though, Scott, sometimes... Oh, so sorry. Scott, Kelly, cool up. Sometimes I do find myself in a situation where I imagine that a bit of a Toy Story's happening, and I just have boxes and boxes of lonely
and you're keeping
spinners.
Them... they're like in prison.
And I want to just be, at this point, I'd just be an Andy and pass them to a younger child who will appreciate them because it's time for me to go to college. I'd be willing, but... It's just so many of them. And, you know, during the pandemic, I can't just ding dong. Here's 500 count, except for maybe you two, if you would take one.
I don't Scott, know. Sunday, I don't know that we have
quite
room.
A big box. Yeah.
Trying to minimize our
sure,
space.
Yeah.
I'm
so many
doing
t-shirts.
A Marie Kondo
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where
what
I'm watching a lot of Netflix.
Joy.
No, absolutely. That. And I can't argue with that because it makes sense.
Who sold you these spinners?
Oh, I bought them from all over, you know.
Wait, not you didn't buy them in bulk from one source?
Wait,
you
no.
bought them one at a time?
Chrysanthemum!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah. Every time
You're
I saw...
You're never going to make your money back that way.
Every time I saw one that I liked, I added it to the collection, knowing that someday it would make someone else happy. It needed to, like, you know, Miss Kondo needed to spark joy with me. Oh, some of them are metallic. Some of them are neon green. Some of them have a lot of weight to them. Some of them not so much. You know,
wait, but... Chrysanthemum, did you buy them all retail?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes.
Oh, no.
Were they marked down at all? Or
No.
Now, how, was this your life savings? How much money did you sink into this?
Well, I had inherited several bonds when I was... Ramon,
was this the uncle who gave you the RV spot as well?
That's right, yeah.
Why is he giving all his stuff away? It sounds to me like he's just vacationing at hotels.
You know, I think he's just one of those guys who goes through true phases. All he had in his RV phase, now he's back on hotels. He used to be into timeshares before that. He's just one of those guys.
So every phase he gives away all of his possessions and then starts anew?
Yeah, you know, he likes to start with a clean slate. So I cashed in those bonds, so I'm about $47,816 in on fidget spinners off of retail.
Oh, this is,
that
I mean,
is...
from what I'm told, that's a lot of money. I mean, why don't you just, you know, work a couple of weeks on a sitcom? Do some punch up on a movie or something.
Yeah, why don't I? Why don't I, Scott?
These are all easily manageable problems.
These are all good questions. Now, Scott, what you're forgetting is, though 2017 was already on the down, I had a whole year of selling them. And I thought,
oh, okay.
Here we go. I'm putting money in my jar to get my catamaran, and I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer by the day. And then that was
your goal, is to buy a catamaran?
Well, sure.
And where would you take the catamaran?
just off, you know, up and down the coast. I'll just go down to Dana Point if I need to.
Do you drive the catamaran down to Dana Point, or do you?
You can use a motor or a sail.
Okay, but you'd have to. I guess I mean on the back of a truck or something.
Oh, where would I launch it from?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, my uncle has a slip in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, your uncle. Why don't you tell your uncle about your problems? It sounds like he would help you out.
Well, I have, and he does, but he's one of those, I think in a good way, he's one of those older figures in your life who helps you but doesn't want to just erase your problem for it. You're like, you know, he's giving me the RV spot for free, Scott. He gave me the bonds. He's just, you know, hey, Chrysanthemum, you keep going on this, or you try to pivot, and if you got your next idea, you know, you can count on my support.
Well, I wish you luck with this business of yours. I mean, it's not even a business. It's more of a collection that you're trying to turn into a business.
Uh-huh. That's a fair assessment. Yeah. I think sure. it's a poor investment I'm looking to offload rather than a small business.
Yeah. I mean, you may just want to take this as a loss, and if you're not enjoying the fidget spinners any longer, which it sounds like maybe you're not because the pressure of them is just weighing down upon you every single day of your life. I mean, maybe you just throw them in the trash?
Or a bonfire. That could be really like the phoenix, like your uncle.
Insure them, and then torch the storage space.
Yeah. Oh, well, all right. Now we're cooking with gas.
Kelly, you ever set anything on fire?
Yeah, I have actually.
Whoa. What are we talking? We talking food?
What else? I feel like when I was a kid, I used to like wreak havoc a little bit, and I would just set little structures on fire. Am I a sociopath?
Structures? Yes,
structures like a shed.
I'd like build little. We'd like build little like popsicle structures, and then I'd just, you know, burn them like people.
Okay. Are we talking popsicle sticks or actual popsicles? Because those things.
Popsicle sticks.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That all tracked for me. No, sure. I got to say, I had a lot of nods throughout that. That I felt
right?
Like, yep. Mm-hmm,
nothing
yeah.
weird about that. So
set
relatable.
Small things on fire.
Look, we have to take a break if that's okay. When we come back, we have a bounty hunter. Now, look, we don't. You haven't committed the crime of arson yet, but if you do, the bounty hunter might, you know, eventually track you down and turn you into, you know, if you skipped bail, of course.
Oh, turn me in.
That's part of skipping bail is the whole bounty hunter experience. I wonder, you know, if in The Mandalorian, look, Kelly, you're in the Star Wars universe. I don't know whether you've found this out yet, but I wonder if he goes after people who have skipped bail, like space bail.
Oh, I've never seen that show, guys.
If I have to see one more laser.
One more pew-pew, honestly.
All right, well, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll ask about bail and its relation to bounty hunting. We will be right back with more Chrysanthemum Trummers, more Kelly Marie Tran, more Cool Opfi Lysok. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals. And oh, no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh, gosh. The nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again this spring. Get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello. Hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Kelly Marie Tran of Raya and the Last Dragon, lending her dulcet tones. Did they ever tell you it was a musical just to hear you like sing some stuff and then kind of laugh
Listen,
at you?
I begged them to make it a musical.
The answer was a resounding no.
Look at this dragon. It's the last one. My name is Raya. That gets all the info into one song.
Right? It's perfect. It's perfect. I'm going to pitch you as the composer of the sequel that is a musical.
Okay, I would love to. We also have Kulap Vilaysok here, who gets special thanks in the credits of Raya and the Last Dragon.
Pardon me. Hello,
and
I'm here.
Yes, we also have Chrysanthemum Tremors, who has no relation to this film, as far as I can tell.
That's right. Unless they made a promotional fidget spinner that I could acquire, I probably...
You still want to acquire more?
It's hard to break a habit, Scott.
Are you wearing a hat that says crunches, by the way?
No.
Like, are you just putting reminders everywhere to do your cardio?
It actually says crunched. Okay. Scott Kelly Kulop. And, well, the details of that story are for
Do
another
you put that on every time you finish your breakfast?
Oh, crunched.
All right. We don't have time to get into that. We do have to get to our next guest. He is the aforementioned bounty hunter. This is very exciting. This is, I mean, one of the most exciting jobs I think we've ever spoken to. I mean, you know, actors are fine, Kelly. No, no offense, but
it's cool, it's cool.
And you know, small business owners, we get a lot of those, aka entrepreneurs. But bounty hunters, I don't think we've ever spoken to one. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Eli Fuseli.
Howdy, Scott. It's Eli Fuseli here. Happy to be here. Sorry, howdy, Scott.
Did you say howdy?
Hello, hi there, greetings, salutations, but I did say howdy, yes.
Okay, and thank you for saying...
You know what it means.
Howdy means, is it akin to a hello? Is it like aloha?
It's extremely similar to... It does not mean peace or goodbye like aloha might, but it does...
And namaste, as well?
I would say it in its Venn diagram with sort of shalom and namaste, aloha, it does have... the hello part is similar in the rest of it.
So you couldn't say howdy to when you want to say goodbye.
You could, but I think you would leave someone staring at you wide eyed and a bit confused.
Okay, so you don't want to do that.
I wouldn't do it. I won't do it at the end of this conversation if you're wondering for like a personal.
All right, well, I'm going to hold you to that. If you say howdy at the end of this show, I am going to be so upset. Okay, so 0% chance?
Not a wildflower chance in a windstorm, Scott Kelly Kulop, Chrysanthemum. It ain't going to happen. Don't you worry about it.
All right. Good to see you. Bounty Hunter, this is exciting.
Yes, sir. Exciting job.
You're from the South?
I'm actually from, Northeast California, a little town called Calico.
Okay. Calico.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds beautiful.
It was one time back in the day. Yeah.
Where'd you go to high school?
Oh, did not, sir.
Oh, really? Oh, so you graduated, are you like a prodigy who graduated when you were like 11 from college?
I don't know that I call myself a prodigy, but I'd say that, yeah, ever since I was 11, I've absolutely been hunting things down, turning them to their rightful owners. I remember this one time I came outside my house and there was a baseball glove just lying there in the dirt. And I said, now, hold on a second, Mr. Eli Fuseli, you do not own a baseball glove. Therefore, this baseball glove must belong to someone else. I'll tell you what. It was, and there was a kid next to it, and it was his. So I said,
a kid right next to it?
Right,
like adjacent to it?
Yeah, I did not see him at first. At first, I just saw the glove.
Was he obscured by a shadow or a tree?
No, he was right there, plain as the nose on God's face. I'll tell you what, he was sitting right there, right next to it.
He was sitting.
But I didn't see him. He was sitting next to it. Yeah, so I don't even have the excuse of sort of like eye line was wrong. I was looking down at the glove. And then immediately behind the glove was the...
So not even adjacent, just behind it. So
I'll tell you right in my line of sight. I'll tell you what, that was a blind spot that I had to sort of work on in my line of vision. Because it's not good when you're looking for something and they're
and it's in your line of vision and you can't see it?
And it's obscured by a thing that's smaller than the thing that it's hiding.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't work out great.
Well, welcome to the show. What a wonderful story that you were able to return that glove to its rightful owner who was right there.
Yeah, he just sort of picked it up.
Yeah.
But I felt like I had a hand in it.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Your hand was in the glove?
No, sorry. Sorry, ma'am. That's a turn of phrase. I felt like I had sort of a part to play in the reunification of
glove. You're an active participant. Yeah.
I felt that way. Yeah. You know, they say that if you are... They say that evil does not need more evil to succeed. It just needs the absence of good. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing nothing, you're on the side of evil.
Are you sure you didn't graduate high school? That's quite a philosophical quote there.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm full of philosophical quotes. I got the internet. You don't need internet. You don't need high school to get internet.
That's true. But you may need internet to get high school. These days, am I right? During the quarantine?
I believe that's true. I believe children are sort of learning in their own homes. It's sad. It should be a public utility, if you ask me, but that's just...
I think that's sort of out of your purview. I mean, you're here to talk about bounty hunting. Before we get to the bounty hunting, why didn't you own a baseball glove?
It's not really a sport you can play all by your lonesome, and I wasn't about to play with that kid next door.
Why? What was wrong with him?
He was...
Please, collect your thoughts. Whatever you need to do.
He was not sort of alive in the sort of usual sense, Scott.
What?
He was a little ghost boy.
A ghost boy? Oh, okay. Is this part of your thing?
What do you mean?
you're here to talk about bounty hunters. Suddenly you've introduced...
No, he was a ghost.
...the supernatural into your... Your whole thing.
I'll tell you what, then
maybe it's okay that you didn't see him exactly behind.
Yeah, he may be shimmering in and out.
I tell myself that. He was bright green. He was pretty shiny.
Wait, is this Slimer?
AKA Onion Head? He looked a lot like Slimer.
Did he have hot dogs in his mouth that he'd stolen from a New York street cart?
Yeah, that might be the guy. That might have been him.
Okay, well, I don't know what he has a baseball glove for.
I didn't ask him, and he wouldn't tell.
Okay, well, yeah, as far as I know, he can't talk, so.
Yeah, well, he didn't talk to me. That's why we didn't play baseball together.
Also, but he lived next door.
Also, he was a ghost. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if lived is the correct word, but he was next door. He sort of inhabited.
Did you live next door to a fire station in New York City?
Did I know an old abandoned
fire station that had, you know, what they call an ectomobile parked in the garage?
I've only been to New York one or two times, so I didn't live there.
What'd you do there when you were in New York?
Oh, I was hunting someone down. I've been paid to find someone who was having a marital disagreement with their spouse.
Okay. Well, this is what you're on the show to talk about, being a bounty hunter. I can only imagine, Kelly, have you ever met a bounty hunter? Have you ever been related to one? Have you ever seen any kind of film or television show about one?
I have not seen any films or television shows or have been related to a bounty hunter ever, so I'm fascinated.
Well, you met one now. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Ain't that a thing? You come on a podcast, you meet all sorts of new and interesting people.
Listen, I'm extremely excited to hear more about how bounty hunting works.
Yeah, tell us how you got your start. We raised the supernatural and ghosts earlier. That will have nothing to do with this?
Yeah, it's neither here nor there.
Okay, all right, then continue then.
Yeah, so what happens is someone comes to me. Let's say you, Kulat, came to me and you said, I want you to hunt down my husband, Scott Aukerman.
Scott David Aukerman.
He skipped down. I don't know where he is. I want you to go find him.
I thought that that's more of a private investigator thing. A bounty hunter, doesn't that imply that you're chasing down people who have skipped their bail?
That's possible, but that's, I don't work with any sort of, organization. I don't work with the prison system, and I'm not really reliant on, I guess you, it is similar to a private investigator, except that I don't do investigations, really. I just track people down. I guess that's an investigation sort of in its own way.
Yeah. You the bounty is usually like, okay, we're going to give you some money that's less than the amount that we're due to pay the courts for the bail.
Well,
am I explaining bounty hunters to you? You are one.
I do not know, sir, but the way that it would come to me is that Kulop would say, I'll give you, I don't know, $500 to hunt down Scott David Aukerman, who has skipped town and gone to New York City.
$600. All right,
so there you go,
$600. This is bad negotiating taxes, Kulop. You're just giving our money away. Like, he already agreed to do it for
$500. He needs a bounty.
You can tip him at the end.
Wait, do you have to kill them at the end?
It depends on the job, but no, ma'am, I have not killed anyone in my particular
life. Oh, so you're just finding people.
Have you killed anyone in your personal life?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, this is, I have to say,
that's not what I'm here to talk about.
The bounty hunting is interesting, but the ghosts and the fact that you're a murderer?
Not a murderer, sir.
An assassin?
I need to clarify. I've shot one man and he drew first, so that was self-defense on my part.
Oh, well, what situation was this?
Oh, we were in a disagreement. He was trying to order a wedding cake, and
from you or
no,
from...
not from me, from a bakery nearby.
Nearby. Yeah, so he wasn't even at this bakery. He was on the phone.
I guess neither of us were at the bakery. He was on the phone trying to order a wedding cake from a bakery.
So
down.
What was the disagreement about? Because
well,
it seemed like
I was
maybe
getting to that part, Mr. Ogden.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
He was ordering a wedding cake on the phone, and we were in a street nowhere near the bakery. And as he was on the
but
phone,
it was nearby.
The bakery was nearby, but not so near that he could call it with his voice. He had to call it on the phone.
Okay.
As he walked by, he bumped into me, and I said, "Beg your pardon, sir." And he said, "I'm pissed off at you." And I assumed he was talking to whoever he was on the phone with. So I just kept walking. Mm. And then he threw his phone in the dirt and said, "No, you, person that I just bumped into." And I said, "I don't know who you are, sir." He said, "Well, get ready to meet your maker." And then he drew a gun on me, but I drew faster and I did.
There's got to be a better way for that to be a snappy quip. Like, maybe if you had said, "Hey, I haven't even met you yet," well, you're not going to meet me. You're going to meet your maker. Like, it just needs to be punched up a little
bit.
Punch
up on what he was saying or what I should have said?
Well, both of you. I mean, if you could have workshopped that a little bit, it would have been, you know, like maybe, "Hey, I don't even know you." Well, the only person you need to know is God, because if you don't know him yet, you're about to go to hell.
Yeah,
something to that effect.
Absolutely, sir. I agree. I mean, I'll let him know next time I see him. He pops up in my periphery every once in a while.
Oh, he does. So he survived. Wait, I thought you killed him.
I did, yes.
Oh, so but wait, his ghost.
Yeah. He's a ghost.
Is he Slimer?
Listen, that's not what I'm here to talk about.
Well, okay, it feels like maybe it should. And now, is he the same Slimer? Are Slimers all over, or is there only one Slimer?
AKA Onion Heads.
I don't know. This, he's not, he looks sort of like he did before, but translucent and yellow. Mm.
Yellow. Oh, okay. So why the yellow, do you think? Is that just a ghostly color, or did you urinate on him after you shot him?
Or is it his favorite Coldplay song?
You know, I'll ask him. I don't know. It's a good Coldplay song.
So you killed one man. He drew first. Were you taken to court or arrested for that or anything like that?
That happens all the time in the desert.
Oh, it was the desert nearby a wedding cake store?
A desert town, but yeah.
Oh,
it's a town in the, you know, there are towns in the desert, right? This whole state's a desert.
Okay,
you say that like you don't believe me. Now, I meet a lot of people that don't believe there are towns in the desert.
Are these ghosts you're meeting?
I mean,
who were killed before they made the towns in the desert?
Okay, yeah, I meet a fair amount of ghosts in the desert. That's not what I'm here to talk about.
Okay, all right, look, let's talk about bounty hunting.
Okay.
How does it work?
Kulop has hired me to hunt you down for $600 in New York City. I find you, where would you be hiding it? Sort of a Red Lobster or a...
Yeah, probably.
Or a cozy
just getting some
pizza,
Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Cheddar Bay biscuits, yeah.
Yep, definitely Times Square.
So I go to...
I'm in the Olive Garden in Times Square.
Yeah, the greatest place for locals to go. You go to the Olive Garden in Times Square. I go in, I interrupt your unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks, and I say, "Mr. Aukerman, I've been hired... by Kulop to hunt you down and bring you back to her. Now, she has paid me $600. And at this point, that I would give you the option to pay me more than that to not pull you in.
Outbid her.
Yes. I say, turnabout's fair play. If you would like to hire me for $601 or more dollars, I will go hunt down her and I will bring her back to you.
I'm just going to pick 601. I'm not going to pick anything higher.
But then I'm going to go back to Kulop and I'm going to say, Kulop, hello. I found Scott Aukerman. I found him. Here's where I found him. I found him in the Olive Garden in Times Square in an unlimited soup salad.
No, you're not supposed to say that unless she outbids me.
No, I tell her right off the bat. I tell her exactly where you were. And by the way, when I get to you, I'll tell you where she was. I'll let both parties know where the other party was. And I say, now, if you'd like to go back, the bid, it's like eBay, right? It's sitting at $601. Mm-hmm. Now you give me $602, I'll go back and bring him to you.
I have a question for Eli. Well, yeah, so if I don't want to pay you more, you will take me to him?
Correct.
In Times Square? But he's trying to run from me.
That's right. Yeah. Turnabout's fair play, though, isn't it? If he pays me, if you started it, but then he pays me more, I'm a bounty hunt you and I'll bring you back to him.
But I don't want her in this scenario.
Okay. But then why doesn't it just end when you tell me where he's at and you don't have to?
Yeah, it seems like she could eliminate
him,
the middleman, and just go to the Olive Garden and, you know, say what's up herself.
Well, she could, but she won't. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, please do. That would answer my question that I just asked.
Well, yeah, she
approximately
could.
10 seconds ago.
Yeah, she won't. And I'll tell you what, Scott, here's the reason why she will not do that.
Okay.
She won't do that because she's hired me and that's my job.
Okay.
But then, Eli, how do you get Scott to stay at the Olive Garden this whole time?
It's tricky because, you know, that's an excellent point. Most of the time he does not. If I leave the Olive Garden, by the time I get back to you, I'll say, I found Scott Aukerman, last known place. I'll tell you where he was. I'll tell you his social security number if I've got it. I'll give you some of his internet passwords.
If you've got it, how do you get it?
Well,
I have it.
Yeah, you got it.
So asked her for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably ask her for it. Sometimes I'll go into your like Google Chrome. You ever get one of those alerts on Google Chrome that's like, hey, listen, you got to stop using the same password for everywhere you go. And I'm like, I'm not gonna. But thank you for telling me, Google Chrome. It's probably like that. Like your password's probably like Comedy Bang Bang Boy. You probably just typing that in.
All right, you got it.
Scott, right? See, some of those passwords not too hard to guess.
Comedy Bang Bang Man.
Scott, you should try to get hired by Google Chrome to make that an audio alert where you say, "Hey, no,
you're getting
seriously.
Nervous again, Chrysanthemum. I can hear the quivers in your voice."
Well, I wasn't sure if can I be in this part?
Sure, please. Yeah, we'll take all comers. We enjoy having you around.
Maybe you should be the little audio that says, "Hey, reminder, no, for real with those passwords."
I pop up like Clippy on your computer screen?
Well, I think you can be better than Clippy. Dream bigger. Dream higher.
Oh, you guys are so supportive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't talk about my new friend that way. Clippy is a menace and you would be helpful.
You don't like Clippy. Do you see Clippy, by the way, Eli?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is Clippy a ghost?
No, he just pops up every time I boot up my 1998 Dell laptop.
Why did you say that so slowly?
Well, it's an old laptop, and I was reading.
The slower you say something, the older it is? Is that what you think?
Yeah, I mean...
So, like, when you say grandma, it's because...
Now, when you said it that way, I'm picturing an old woman.
Okay, all right.
That's why you have to say baby.
A baby's young.
Maybe.
But a grandma? Think about why someone would take their time saying that like that. That woman does not have many hours left on this earth.
So are you here, Eli, to bring any of us in? Have you been hired to
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I just got to ask, if I meet a bounty hunter, I'm presuming he's on my tail.
Yeah, you would be correct in assuming that I am here for someone on this pod, although it is not.
Oh,
it is not
I
me.
Hope it's me.
It's not me. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry to disappoint you, Miss Chrysanthemum. It is in fact Miss Kelly Marie Tran that I have before.
What?
Really?
Twist.
Who hired you? And for how much?
Yeah, what's the turnabout?
I was going to say, hello. Hello, Mr. Tran. My name is Eli Fusilli. I'm a bounty hunter. I was hired by, I wrote his name down here. Hired by David Sesnuk. David Sisnuk, I think he's just a fan, wanted me to hunt you down, tell him what a good job you did in the Star Wars movies. Now, if you want me to turn around and tell him what a good job you did in the Star Wars movies, now all you got to do is pay me more money than he's paying me, which
How
is $100. It was just $100. Honestly, I was expecting this one to be much harder than it was. I did not know you were going to be here.
Oh, wait, you were just on this show and it's a coincidence?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't tell me she was going to be here. I just got an email that said, you want to come on Comedy Bang Bang? I said, what's this now? I'll show up. And then I did. And what
so,
do you know?
Yeah, what a happy accident. Well, do you want to hire Eli here for at least $101, Kelly, in order to...
I'll go tell him what a good job you did in the Star Wars movies.
Listen, I'll pay anyone to tell everyone that I did a good job in the Star Wars movies. How much do you...
Hey, $100 is cheap for
this.
There
we go. Yeah. I need some good publicity. So,
no, that's a good investment.
I saw all those movies. I love those pew-pews and those lasers. I'll tell you what.
All right. Well, we are running out of time here. We only have time for one final feature on the show, and that is a little something called plugs.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Plugs.
That was Gimme 5 by Scott Ralston. Thank you so much to Scott Ralston for that plugs theme submission. All right, guys, what are we plugging? Kelly, we obviously have Raya and the Last Dragon opening not only in theaters this Friday, but also on Disney Plus Premier Access. Is that right?
Yes, on March 5th.
Kelly, anything else you want to plug? Obviously Raya, but...
I would like to plug Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show, which I also appeared in.
The Thomas Middleditch episode, yes of course.
Yes,
wonderful.
Yes.
All right, very good. Chrysanthemum, Cool Up, you're to the right of me. What would you like to plug?
I'd like to plug the Add to Cart podcast on the Lemonada Network. I co-host with Suchin Pak.
That's right. And you've been going for a few months at this point, and people can find that wherever podcasts are made and sold and distributed.
That's correct, Scott. I love you so much. Thank you for having me.
You are quite welcome. And Chrysanthemum, I love you as well. What do you want to plug?
Boy, if you want a fidget spinner or...
Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous.
Okay.
Take a breath.
If you want a fidget spinner or a Venn diagram, please write me a letter. And please listen to Off Book, the improvised musical podcast.
Oh, that's right. That's the podcast hosted by a couple of friends of mine, Jess McKenna and Zach Reno, who they improvise a full musical every week.
As far as I know, but I'm not here to talk about that.
Well, you just plugged it.
Well, it was sort of apropos of nothing. It was just I was thinking about what else I should say, and I got nervous, and that was the first thing that popped up.
You just blurted it out?
Real ghost in the room sort of pops up. It's not about you, Off Book, the improvised musical podcast. Get out of here.
It sort of popped in my head like a ghost for sure.
Yeah, Eli, the ghost bounty hunter, you should be a ghost hunter.
Yeah,
like a hunter who's a ghost.
Oh, I'll look into it.
You're not hunting for ghosts.
I'm going to have to look into if I am a ghost now. You get
yeah, look into that.
For
the next time that you're here.
Put money in my hand, see if it turns to goop.
Yeah, what would you like to plug?
Yeah, you can find me at wordpress.elifusili/bounties. If you want to sort of hire me, find you, bring someone to you.
That's a complicated...
wordpress.elifusili/bounties.
Okay.
It's a free website that I built myself. It's more difficult than you might think.
So anything else you want to plug that's out there?
Well, that's weird. Just something called Off Book Musical Podcast. Improv Musical Podcast.
You do?
I think that's not about... Seems like that's not what we're talking about, though. So I'll just tell Off Book the Improvised Musical Podcast, get on out of here.
Oh, all right. Remember, don't say howdy when we end this episode.
Yes, sir.
You're on notice. I want to plug, the Between Two Ferns movie. That stars Awkwafina, too. So, you can have a real... night of it on Friday. You just watch Raya with your kids, then put them to bed, shush them, and say, "Don't you scream in the night, little ones," and then watch the Between Two Ferns movie, flip over to Netflix. All right, we're going to close up the old plug bag, but before we do, we have another remix. This is by Mitch Stevenson. Let's close up the old plug bag.
When you see something open, get a rope up and start to twist. Then you find that you're
getting the little I missed. You think you're crying and you know what to do. Get up in there and do what you do. You gotta open up. Open it up. Open up. Open up. Open it up. Open up.
Make sure it's not closed.
Open.
Make sure you got eyes on him.
And don't mess around with it. Open it up. Open it up.
Don't mess around.
Open it up.
Don't mess around.
Open it up. Don't mess around. Open that shit.
Very nice. Thank you, Mitch Stevenson. I noticed none of these remixers have made it shorter. They always seem to make it longer. It'd be interesting to have a remix that just like cut off the last minute of that song. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Kelly, great to see you again. I wish you continued success. And I want to write that Disney Plus show, you know, for you.
Let's do it.
You know?
Let's do it.
Cool Op, always great to see you. Always nice to meet a fan. And Chrysanthemum, good luck to you.
Oh, thanks.
And and Eli, this is the true test. I'm going to say goodbye to you.
Sure thing.
And you know what you're supposed to do.
Yep,
all right?
I do.
All right. Goodbye, and thank you for being on the show.
Howdy, Scott.
Okay, you do. Oh, man. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.